Welcome to the Short Score, your weekly update of rope and news from around the industry, where you can find the latest on the sport from the pro rodeo ranks to the jackpot world. I'm Taylor Vollen, and I'm your host. Hey everyone, it's Taylor Vollen. Welcome back to the Short Score. Spring is here, and we just wrapped up the biggest rodeo of the year with Rodeo Houston. If you're new here, Houston pays $50,000 to the champs, and this year a new team took the win. JC Yaco and Buddy Hawkins, like I said, just started roping together in 2024, and on Sunday, March 17th, they won Rodeo Houston with a 4.8 second run in the four-man championship shootout. They took home $50,000 for the win, but if you include their Super Series and the semifinals, all in all in Houston, they won $54,375 a man. Now, this is both JC and Buddy's first time to win Houston, as well as JC's first time to ever even rope in Houston, which I think makes the win so much cooler. They're also now number one in the world standings, and they join me on this episode of The Short Score presented by Purina to talk about their win. Arguably the biggest one of your career so far. How are you feeling today?
This is awesome. I didn't let it change anything. I guess I got back here and got back to work, trying to build my place over here. So just gotta keep staying busy, I guess.
Has it sunk in at all though that you just won Houston?
Oh, I don't think so. As soon as I roped over there, Buds grabbed our saddles, and I went and grabbed my horse and put him in the trailer, got the truck, and drove to Stephenville.
Right.
I didn't really do anything different rather than it just being another rodeo.
That's so interesting. I mean, with so much money on the line, it's crazy to think that it is just another day at the end of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the... When you think about it... when you're building a place, it seems like that's not a very large amount of money.
That's true, yeah. Is it kind of nice to get to start the year off with this, though? Is it kind of a cushion, or?
Oh, I think so. But there's so far to go still. There's still so much left to do. It's kind of, I've never been in this position before in anything in my life, being ahead of the race. So just seems like it's going to help, obviously, because it's got me to just about the same amount of money won this year so far after eight rodeos as it did last year. We went to 75 and won 66,000. I've been to eight rodeos this year and I've got 65,000 won.
How did you and Buddy get teamed up? Like, what's the story behind that?
I don't know. We've roped off and on whenever he's needed a 17 point run. He's a 10, I'm a 7 plus,
yeah.
So it's worked good. Every now and then we'd rope about once or twice a year, and then when I heard that he wasn't roping, I had already kind of told myself I was going to do something different and move down to Stephenville and probably get a new partner. I wasn't sure. Whenever I found out that him and Andy weren't going to rope, I just called him and I was like, hey, you know, I don't have a partner at the jackpots, and I'm going to assume you don't, since you guys just quit roping. I said, why don't we just rope at the jackpots and then see where that goes. And then we just kind of decided right there before the finals that we were going to rope together for the year.
Do you, and I asked him the same question, because I feel like you guys are kind of in, from the outside looking in, relatively similar boats. Do you think there's been any adjustments you've had to make yourself going from roping with your brother for so long to a new partner?
I don't know. I try not to change too much. I try to just keep it as simple as I can, just to head the steer and turn the steer and leave it up to them to finish the run. So kind of if I was roping with my brother at Houston, I would have done the same exact thing as I did for Buddy. So.
That's fair, yeah.
As far as making runs and stuff, I don't think I've changed really anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've started catching more. I think I lacked in that when I roped with my brother. I don't think I caught enough steers for us as a team.
Mm-hmm.
and turning enough gears for us to do as good as we can. But I think I've got better at catching more steers than I was 6 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago.
Right. Well, let's get into kind of the nitty gritty of Houston, I guess. Walk me through your runs. I know there's a lot of them, but.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to ride my sorrel horse that I rode everywhere there. I was going to ride the blue roan that I have. And so I rode him the first round. I missed my first steer. I rode him the second round. We caught our steer. We weren't as fast as we necessarily could have been, but we placed on that steer. And then our third steer, we had to win first or second. And neither one of us loved the steer or the guys that ran him before us.
Really?
So that was nobody really loved that steer, and I still don't. I think I love him now, but I didn't whenever I found out I had him drawn. So we run that steer, had to win first or second to make it back. We win first. We were 4-5, and then so we made it back out, and we were last out in that set, so we knew exactly what we had to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we go back for the semifinals. We draw the same exact steer, and we were last out again.
Yeah.
And so we run that steer twice. We were exactly what we needed to be on him both times. We ran him, and same position both times. Like we needed to win whatever it was we needed to win, and we just caught him on how we needed to catch him.
Tell me a little bit about last night's run.
Buddy and I were talking about it back there, and he was like, "I think we could just do whatever we need to do." He said he thought that if we needed to go be six, we could go be six, and if we needed to go be four, we could try to be four. And when we knew that steer was supposed to be pretty dang good, and I get him, and I said, "All right, buds, I'll just be riding to the left and just be expecting him to come to the left." Like, mm-hmm. I've been wanting a straight steer there every time. We never got a straight steer, and we knew he was straight, so I hit the barrier, and I'm riding left, and the steer's running right, and I kind of got nervous when I let go of my rope, and it went on, and Buddy did an amazing job of finishing the run, so that was awesome.
Yeah. I know you kind of already touched on it, but your first time sitting in the driver's seat?
Never been in the driver's seat in anything.
Yeah.
Other than when I'm rodeoing, I was always the driver, and was always a sleeper.
But I know, I mean, you can't slow down. It's so early in the year, and I know you already kind of talked on that, but what is kind of the game plan from here on out?
I don't know. I think I'm not going to let it change my mindset of rodeoing and roping or anything. I'm just going to keep trying to get as much money out of every steer that I can. So, you know, if that's going to, we're going to Waxahachie next week, and it's co-approved with our circuit, and I don't think it adds very much money, but I mean, I'm still gonna try to go and win the rodeo.
Right.
Go as fast as I can. I think that's my strong suit seems to be. Well, if I stay aggressive every time rather than not being aggressive, I do better.
Is this kind of a bucket list win for you? I mean, I feel like that's an obvious answer, but.
I don't know. I've never watched rodeo. Mm-hmm. I still don't hardly even watch it. I know everybody watches it nowadays, but I go to 75 rodeos a year, and I go to one every week, it seems like, and I don't just watch them or anything like that. But I remember the first time I ever saw a run in Houston was 3 years ago, maybe.
Really?
When maybe it was 2 years ago. My dad was showing me a video on how I needed to face my horse better, and he showed me a video of Derek Begay riding Buxton over there. It just faced so fast, and I'm like, "What rodeo is that?" He's like, "That's Houston."
How funny!
And I said, "Well, I guess I need to pay more attention to rodeo." So I never knew the what kind of major Houston was.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So was this your first year open at Houston, or did you get in last year?
This was my first time to rope at Houston. I did the only ones we got to go to last year that had a cap was Fort Worth and Austin.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes it even crazier. Kind of a cooler storyline too. I mean, your first year at Houston, new partnership. you win Houston.
That, that was kind of, that buddy said it yesterday in the interview in the arena. He said, I think if I can remember this right, he said that out of the 12 times he's been, he hasn't ever made the Final Four. He was telling me, since I never even went and watched any clips of it, like the only run I'd ever seen at Houston was that one video of my dad telling me I needed to face my horse bill. And so he was like, you know, I think the guys that win that rodeo every year are kind of, you know, or the more jackpot style kind of go catch the cow, have a lot of control and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So, you know, he said, you might want to talk to somebody if you've never been there before or watched it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I will. And I never talked to anybody about that rodeo. I guess I just winged it. Yeah.
This episode is presented by Purina. The PhD equine nutritionist at Purina Animal Nutrition tackle problems using science, and their love of horses keeps them at it until they get it right. Even with the most established feeds, they keep innovating. Even when it takes years of research, they don't stop until it's right. They are dedicated to the scientific method, but it can't capture the feeling of seeing a horse reach their full potential. It takes science and love to help your horses live their best life. Put their research to the test at horseinnovation.com. We will start with the obvious. How are you feeling after this one?
Good. I think it sounds a little weird maybe to some people. I think most rodeo people have the expectation of winning first every time they go. So it's a fulfillment of expectation. That being said, you know, you also get used to losing when you know, there's only, people say things like there's only 40 guys at Houston, or there's only 10 guys yesterday, or there's only 4 guys in the Final Four, but mm-hmm. you always have to come back to the fact that they took the 40 greatest guys in the toughest era of team roping.
For sure.
And then the 10 guys that performed the best out of those 40 showed up yesterday. And so that's the main thing is, you know, to not underestimate, you know, just like when we run our last one, you know, even if it goes no time, obviously I have a lot of confidence in Andrew after a long partnership, but mm-hmm. you know, we were going to try to make that type of a run, even if it went no time before us, because there's such a big gap between the 20,000 and 50,000 for the year. And not that 20,000 doesn't matter, because that's a monster day, you know, that's what at Fort Worth pays, but you know, the 50,000, that's two good Fort Worths, or two good San Antonios, or honestly, it's two good go rounds of the National Finals Rodeo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need to try for that when the opportunity presents itself. And You hate to miss the cow, but we just have, you know, we know these other guys are really good also, so we have to go ahead and you know, push the envelope a little bit, so to speak. And then with it being, you know, 5-4, 5-2 right in front of us, mm-hmm. there was no concern for the you know, there was no concern for laying down, because it's like a, you know, a 5-5 is worth at most 10,000, and a miss is worth 5,500 right here. So we have to go ahead and try.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've never won Houston before, right? This is the
correct
first time?
Yep. Yeah, first time I've actually been in the Final Four.
Really?
We've been fairly successful over there. Andrew and I have done pretty good in the series, won our series, et cetera. But, yeah, I just it's been a little bit of an elusive rodeo. Mm-hmm. I think more often me coming up short than my partners. I've had a lot of good partners there. But yeah, I just didn't finish the course often enough.
Gotcha. Can you even, in this, I feel like it's silly, but what does a moment like that feel like? Because I'm sure this is one of those, I mean, it's a bucket list win, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it is for everybody. You know, the best analogy I could give on it, and this is going to be subjective, because I've had some major wins, mm-hmm. you know, and that was, like I told JC, you know, what I encouraged him was to, like, you know, soak it, soak it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the point I'm getting to on that is, you know, what I will say, it's a very unique, it's a unique feeling, but you're not aware of the implications, you know, up front. You know, you're like, yeah, 50 grand, you know, that's awesome. Rodeo Houston Buckle, you know, the only one they gave away this year in the healing. That's awesome. Make the NFR, you know, I mean, generally speaking, when you know, a young man like JC has that level of success at this part of the season, you know, we're just expecting him to be at the Thomas and Mack this fall. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't get into San Antonio or Houston last year, and he won 70,000 with his brother. He's got better horses now. We've been working on our run. He's having a good winter before, you know, okay winter. He's winning 20,000 or 15 or 20,000 before Houston. Mm-hmm. So you're feeling like, you know, you add 50,000 to it. So that being said, I'm taking the long route, but for me, I've realized that, you know, you can have spells where you actually rope really well and you go a long time between these wins, you know, between major wins. Mm-hmm. And then you can have a spell, you know, for Andrew and I, we went, you know, about a 6 month period, you know, we went NFR, American, Lone Star, BFI, you know, we mm-hmm. just stacked everything but Houston up in 6 months, basically one time. But also, you know, then there's been, you know, a pretty big spell from, you know, like BFI and of 22 until now that I didn't really have what you would say a bucket list win.
Gotcha.
So that being said, we made good money, had some successes, you know, but the spot for us on the day, or I guess the spot for me, and I know I'm getting lengthy there, is I'm really learning, you know, there's roughly 80,000 people there to enjoy the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm really learning to be one of those people too, you know, and enjoy the day. And I think that's something that we get away from sometimes in business. It is our business, and it is necessary that we, you know, that we perform at a certain level if we want to continue doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, go ahead and look up in the stands and kind of let it soak in. Cause you know, I've watched the interviews with, you know, I think it's the only time I've really seen Corey Petsch get excited about anything when he worked Houston, but I've watched the interviews with a lot of guys over the years, you know, and it is a special. And to be honest, I was kind of surprised I didn't cry about it. I thought I'd probably cry. You know, we've really been working on our partnership, and Andrew and I had a good partnership, lasted a long time. Mm-hmm. We were really, you know, honestly, I didn't want it to end. Like I was kind of hopeful that, that we could go on and get some championships together. But he was ready to do something else. And so then looking, you know, to a new guy, and, you know, I had more than one phone call about roping this year. Mm-hmm. And several guys on my heart that, you know, my wife and I talked about and prayed about, but, you know, JC being the one that we thought was right. Not that he had the most accolades or qualifications or whatever, but we thought it was the right guy. And then to win the biggest, best check of the regular season, rodeo-wise, that's huge. And, you know, the American gives $100,000 last weekend, and I probably should have won that too. But that being said, that 100 just kind of comes and goes. It doesn't count for the standings.
That's fair, yeah.
This 50,000 here could very well be the difference in a gold buckle for us. And ultimately, when I signed up with JC, that was really from a business mindset. Mm-hmm. The world championship was the reason I signed up with him over some of the other options, was I truly felt like he was going to be a world title contender. And I really thought it would take 2 years, to be honest. Like I'm not saying I thought it would take 2 years to get a championship, mm-hmm. but it'd take 2 years for our run to really come together in a way that we were battling. And here again, Driggers and Junior goes the other way over there. We're duking it out. You know, it's the deal is I'm not putting us on any pedestal. I'm just saying my expectation there. Truly, I think I have a good perspective on the implications of success there.
Yeah.
And it's really big, and it lasts, you know, it'll last his career. And to be honest, I've been there, I think I've been there 10 times at least, maybe 12, and I've never won the rodeo. And you could go your whole career and not do it. One of the guys that congratulated me first thing this morning is a neighbor over here, Jack Roddy, longtime Hall of Famer, California.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jack never won Houston. And yeah. I was like, go ahead, Jack, rub it in. Tell me how many times you won it. He's like, no, I never did. You know, and he's won almost everything else there is to win, Hall of Famer, et cetera, et cetera. But I was like, well, shoot, I'm going to have to show this buckle off to you then, you know, because I got nothing to show off to him. Multiple world champion. He's got the good gold buckles, you know, back when it was when they were better than they are now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
but anyway, super, super special and, you know, something, you know, we can tell the kids about.
How cool. I love that. That's really neat. If I can ask, do you feel like you have had to make any adjustments since you started roping with JC, just since you were with Andrew for so long?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everything. It's a huge, it's very, you know, I guess, in terms of surgery, it's been a very invasive process for me. Everything about team roping to me, everything about team roping, and I've learned that I'm the weird guy, and that's fine. I'm cool with it. But everything about team roping for me is about the team chemistry. And to be honest, from what I've found, I am strange, like what most guys look at, and, what most guys look at is how they like to make the run.
Mm-hmm.
What most guys look at, it seems, is how they like to make the run. And they try to find someone else who, when they make the run, they like it to be the same, if that makes sense. And, mm-hmm. and not picking on anybody. I think that's just kind of the traditional way is here's how I team rope. And I'm going to find a partner who is either A, you know, strong in the areas I'm weak, or, you know, sometimes like Andrew and I, you know, we spoke about it even to the point that like our dysfunction coexisted well sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. he had a wild runoff in horse that only went straight and left fast. I had a wild runoff in horse that intimidated cows. And so that being said, with JC, we got together, and one of the encouraging things, you know, when JC and I first talked about it, I'm like, hey, let's just get together and rope. And, you know, to be honest, I've almost twice his senior, you know, I mean, the good thing about it, I joked a while back to pick on one of my buddies. I'm actually buddied with Tanner and Patrick at Logan. We're not a buddy team for the year just at Logandale, but my point being, I was joking a while back and I was like, my goal is to rope good enough that they talk about how good we've been roping and not how much older than my partner I am. You know? It's like Patrick's not even that old, guys. He's probably healthier than Tanner. They're just constantly so like a 42-year-old header, or a 42-year-old healer and a 23-year-old header. You know, but anyway, my point being, I obviously there's an age gap there. And I really, until I spent more time with JC, I didn't know where his identity and his maturity were at, but he showed up, you know, and I think ultimately that's the difference in a lot of guys who talked about roping or whatever. And I said, yeah, let's get together. Let's practice. Let's do whatever. And they didn't show up. They didn't come to my house. They didn't invite me to their house. And so we didn't get to rope. And so when I did rope with JC, you know, his talent is undeniable. He's dripping with talent. He's got a lot of identity for a young guy. But everything, you know, truly him and Andrew have almost perfect form, but it's unique to them. You know, two guys with a great swing of a baseball bat or a golf club, unique. But I really had to go in and reset everything in my mind. Right down to the run yesterday, there's a knee jerk reaction in the four teamer yesterday to win the rodeo. There's a knee-jerk reaction because Andrew and all the success we had, never ever in all of our wins did we do it on a steer stepping right.
Right.
It never happened one time. But that being said, and I'm not saying he's never won anything. I'm saying as a team, I made sure we never had a high-pressure run with a seer stepping right. And it never happened in all the years. And I mean, I let one fade right at the NFR, and it was almost devastating, but we caught the cow placed in the round. But, you know, at all the other deals, you know, the last night of the NFR, all we have to do is catch the cow for 50 grand, and I haze him hard left because that's where our run is good. And so, JC, I had to go in and reset. So, like, for 2 months after the NFR, I never got on X. I wanted to ride him. I just didn't feel like he was the horse for us yet. My wife rode him about every day, and she rehabbed him. Mm-hmm. It's really brought him down from being really offensive with cows.
Gotcha.
It's got him better to where we were able to make the run we made yesterday. And that whole rodeo, JC wanted a steer to go straight or take a step right. And every time we had either one that wanted to go left, or I overhazed one of the two, but we kept going off over the left and he kept catching them for me. But yeah, there's a lot of factors that play in there, but I'll do anything for the team, mm-hmm. you know, with regards to whatever it's going to take. And I think that's a little bit unique, and I don't know, honestly, if both team members should be that way. It might take a little bit of one guy thinking one way and another guy thinking another for the blend to work good. Not picking on no one else, just experience, right. But yeah, I've adjusted the way I score, the way I leave the box, the position I ride going down the arena, the way I haze the cow, the position I ride coming across the arena, my slack and my dally. There's been several factors. Mainly I've left my rope alone because I feel confident that if I can maneuver my horse right, I'm able to rope and then for it to come together, you know, we only get about five rodeos. I think it'd be so much better as a sport if we changed partners in the spring mm-hmm. when we're getting ready to go to a lot of rodeos. But it's just very hard to start off in the winter and you only get to go to a rodeo every 2 weeks
yeah.
trying to chemistry as a team. And so I understand how hard that is, and I'm super grateful, you know, that it came together for us yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Kind of changing gears a little bit, but you brought him up. How did X feel?
Really, really good. You know, that horse is kind of like putting on an old pair of blue jeans.
Yeah.
I know everything about the animal. I can't think of the last time he surprised me, you know, mm-hmm. It's probably been a long time. I'm very pleased that after 4 years of doing what Andrew and I did, I'm very pleased that he's been capable of, you know, adjusting the run. And it's not,
yeah.
it's not a black and white adjustment, you know, it's just a slight change. But for a long time, you know, it was the same exact run that we were aiming for time after time after time. And so to be able to do it, you know, be able to do it that way. And I, you know, there's a lot of major events I didn't even ride that horse at because I, you know, say they set a heel barrier up at a major roping. A lot mm-hmm. of times I don't ride him because I wanted to have him ready to heel for Biscuit at specific locations. And so, you know, he's probably one of the high money horses of all time.
Yeah.
And he still skipped a lot of high payouts that he was very capable of getting just to protect, you know, the run. And so it's like even the BFI, he hasn't been there for a couple of years now. And I've done well on my other horses, but it's like I very well may ride him next week because with JC, it's just a different type of run. And I think I can actually ride him there again if I want to. But that being said, yeah, he's a special animal. I don't know if he's a great horse, but his accolades certainly say that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I've given him a lot of opportunity to win on a lot of major stages, and he's done, you know, really well. I can't honestly think of where he hasn't done good. You know, I messed up at the American the other day. Maybe he could have been a little bit better, but I also is a very difficult arena for Andrew and I. The way they changed the arena, it was almost worst case scenario for us. Very short barrier, weak cows, and a really tough arena. That being said, you know, I just don't think that horse costs me. When I ride right, he works right, and that's pretty consistent.
Right. Walk me through some of your runs from Houston. Kind of break them down for me, if you don't mind.
Well, we go over there, and I could even backtrack a tick if you want the expanded version.
But, that's totally fine.
You know, Houston is more of a outdoor rodeo than any other indoor rodeo all year. You know,
yeah,
it's just such a large arena. So that being said, JC's done a really good job of either listening to me and not making me feel unheard,
mm-hmm.
or actually listening to me and doing what I'm telling him. I don't know if he's doing it or not, but he's doing a heck of a good job. That being said, when we started talking about Houston, I saw how that would be a little bit of a different feel from the runs we got ready for at Odessa and San Antonio and Fort Worth. So with regards to Houston, I kind of encouraged him of an outdoor-style horse and more of an outdoor-style roping. And then as we got closer to the rodeo, I was like, man, I think you need to ride your rodeo horses. Particularly the Sorrel is my favorite, but yeah. I was, you know, his Blue's really good too, but I'm like, I think you need to ride your rodeo horses and rope like you rope, because the barrier is really not as long as a lot of people, you know, think it is. It is a long neck rope, but the boxes are longer as well, so you don't actually score that long. And these guys these days are so good at reaching that it's really not that, hard for them to throw, you know, their whole rope just like he did in the short round. But that being said, round one, he decides to ride his Blue horse. He gets beat off the blocks. It's late. Chase him a long ways. He throws a great loop and it spins off the right horn. Mm-hmm. No time. Pretty hard way to start the rodeo. I know, hard for him. I'm aware of how this rodeo goes.
Yeah.
And if you can start off winning, that's amazing. More importantly, you need to finish winning. So we come back the next night. He does almost the same thing, but catches, and they beat us up pretty bad in the go round. And we end up winning like 500 or 750. But mm-hmm. now we still need a go round win basically to progress. So we still haven't done it. They give us a runner the third night. He switches to the Sorrel, kind of goes more, you know, people would label it kamikaze, but when you rope as good as him and Dustin and Lightning and Drigger,
sure.
and Clay Smith and Andrew, you know, there's a long line of guys now that can throw their whole rope, you know, very consistently.
Absolutely.
Tanner Tomlinson. When you rope that good, it's not kamikaze, but it is aggressive, you know, mm-hmm. it's a long ball. But he does exactly what I knew he would do if he could get a good start, and he gets a good start, whole rope, tight fits him. Puts him on the end of it. I thought my horse was especially good that night because we were down to tenths of a second on how that could go. And I healed him good. It was nothing, you know, the healing's not really that special when your partner and your horse do really good. I healed him good, dallied good, and we win the day money. And I think second place, we might have scraped through there, might not have. Mm-hmm. But by winning the round, it progressed us. Semifinals, we get to go last out in the semifinals, and that really fell in our direction for right. bumping our confidence up in the semifinal round. You expect everybody to rope good all the time, and guys just struggled a little bit. And when we get down to the end, if we make a clean run, we make it back. And he did a great job. Was still around the barrier, but got out. We run the same steer that we were 4-5 on. So we know the steer runs. We know his pattern. He took no speed off of him. Put him on the end of it. Pulled him really hard, really fast, which does not bother me in mine.
Mm-hmm.
I get him healed, and we make it back. And then they give us the opportunity to be 10th out yesterday. And I think that's something, you know, a lot of people probably underestimate a little bit, but it is so nice to get to go at the bottom, and that's a random draw. It didn't have anything to do with how much you win or how fast you were. But being 10th out, basically the scenario repeats itself. A little bit better cow,
mm-hmm.
but when that cow, though, has a little bit more cow horn, lays its head back a little bit, and then wants to kind of go hop, like pull his feet to his belly,
mm-hmm.
and great, great animal to be really aggressive on, a little bit intimidating to be really conservative on in the hitting. And I thought that was where we really won the rodeo, was all we need to do is catch here. We make a nice 6-second run, but my guy hit the horn so hard. I think if you can pull the video file, you'll see an audio spike. And I was really proud of him. He maxes the horns all the time, mm-hmm. but that was an easy steer to just throw it up in the air and try to catch the cow, any legal, and it could have came off and been devastating to mm-hmm. to the weekend. But he smoked the horns, put him on the end of it good, made the healing easy, I thought. And then final four, they give us one that there's been some great runs made on that black steer already, and that was the best slowest cow we've had the whole rodeo, and to bring that one back for our team straight away, mm-hmm. It gave me a lot of confidence. And we talked about the two scenarios. You know, maybe there's two good runs in front of us, and we have to be aggressive, which is no thinking. Right. Maybe good teams have bad luck, and all we're going to need to do is catch for 20,000. But we kind of leaned into the 50,000 and planned on doing it. I took off soft just like I planned. It was just going to be around the steer, and he takes a step right into me.
Yeah.
At which point I see a potential for it to go the wrong way, and I'll feel responsible. I also know that run develops really fast, and on a slow steer, if he's stepping left and being slow, sometimes it makes the run slow. A slow steer stepping right, a lot of times the run's fast, and that was just kind of how it went. I was a little close to the steer. I thought I healed him fine. Not a great shot, not a great loop, but sometimes your not best loops go up over the hips like it did there. And then I thought a good finish, and to be honest with you, I thought we could have been a little faster than 4.8, but it was enough for the lead. And then I expected Andrew and Tanner to beat us, and they didn't. But that's just when you go fourth out in the four man and the first three catch, just seemed like their steer, you know, maybe got beat off the blocks a little bit, and then, you know, safe at the barrier, and makes it tough when you know the steer gets just a little bit of daylight, and then he ran a lot faster than I think they anticipated, and still make a great run. That's what's wild, is 5.4 wins fourth, and then, you know, the round before that, a 5.4 would have won first. Mm-hmm. So just the way it goes sometimes. But I thought great roping by those guys, and we were just fortunate that it went our direction.
For sure. So you guys are number one in the standings now, but it doesn't mean you can back off. What does kind of the rest of the year look like from here on out?
You know, I think the big thing, it looks like I've got, you know, my best horse right now, if you will. You know, I like to say they're all good, but X is 18. I'm twice that old. we are able to, you know, maybe take an account of where we're at for the year, the season of my life, the season of my horse's life. Also, like I said, when I rope with JC, I think he's got the tools to be a world champ. And, you know, Caleb and Junior are not going to lay down mm-hmm. and let us win the championship. You know, Jake Long and, you know, if it changes just a little bit, Jake Long would have broke 100,000 yesterday.
Yeah.
Those guys are high call back at Austin. We've already missed up on two. There's a lot of season ahead of us. I have been learning that in maturity, you don't let successes and failures, you know, dictate your life. But I do think you should leverage success and failure, you know, but leverage both of those to your advantage. And so at this particular spot, we are going to be able to put a little bit more focus. You know, I still do a lot of the entering and scheduling for us. We are going to be able to put a little bit more of our focus toward things like the circuit, seasoning, other horses, you know, or getting chemistry. We've got some mature horses that don't necessarily need season, but they do need, we do need to get chemistry with them. So we could look at maybe officialing a few rodeos that weren't necessarily the top 80 rodeos mm-hmm. of the year, but they're along the route that we're already running to go to top end rodeos and go ahead and stretch a little bit of that. So we're taking, you know, taking a few steps in that direction. I do believe you win the world championship at the major rodeos and the national finals. I don't think you win the world championship at the rodeos that pay $3,500. Now, that being said, you can win or lose it by $30,000 at the end of the year. But for the most part, you chalk it up to big wins. So I think that the spot that's giving us right now, we're in exactly the position that we hope to be in at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we had a good plan going into the year, we don't need to change anything. And that's kind of what we're sticking with. Had we have you know, kind of had less success, maybe we would be altering our schedule in a way that we thought would be more beneficial for, you know, to try to catch up on points, if you will. But we've already skipped quite a few trying to have ourselves prepared for the big ones. You know, we didn't go to the Patriot Open the other day
because
it would have been a little bit difficult to get to Houston in our particular set. We skipped Tucson and the Survey and a few events out there that we didn't think were exactly the best for our style. We didn't go to Rapid City this winter so that we would be more prepared for Fort Worth and the Clay Logan Roping and some events like that. So that being said, we've already been to and skipped a few to set ourselves up for this. You know, a lot of years I've had a great schedule and I haven't had unbelievable success at the events too. But I have learned that, you know, it's a long race. You know, this isn't just a sprint, but it's a marathon. And so we're very happy with the first part of our marathon. And, we're practicing and getting ready for the rest of the year.
Awesome. You wanted to add?
You know, I always like on establishments like, you know, Rodeo Houston. I know there's a lot of people that are able to benefit from that, but I always like to say thanks to that group, that committee. Those, you know, every event has a sponsor down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we bring a lot of value to their town, a lot of business, but also, you know, we truly, you know, out of the goodness of our hearts, we wouldn't be able to be there. We would be somewhere else trying to feed our kids if they didn't have that rodeo.
Yeah.
So, I'm very grateful. The ground's been inconsistent over the years. I thought this year, especially for the team ropers, it was really consistent. And I, you know, it's a good production, but they really have the contestants in mind. You know, there's improvements to be made at every venue and every event across the country, but I was really, I'm really grateful, that, you know, the people that work year round, to set that up for us. You know, there's only a few of those opportunities each year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great when you capitalize and you win the 50,000-60,000, but, you know, even Andrew and I were sitting and visiting yesterday. You know, I think he got out of there with 15,000 and he's going to be the fourth high money winner. There's so many teams, you know, getting out of there with 5,000 or 6,000 a man. And that's, you know, that's a month worth of expenses out here rodeoing. And you know, it's official points, but it's also the opportunity, you know, just essentially stay on the same path. Not that I don't have to rope better and ride better and get better horse. You know, really, really set your life up. A lot of the small wins along the way, they are great for bill pay. But these deals are how you're able to pay off your trucks, trailers, your place, buy better horses, send your kids to college if you so choose. So those are nice opportunities for us.
Absolutely, yeah.